We're doing great.
We're doing amazing. We're doing great. We're really good at this podcasting thing. 3 years into it. Bow, 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 bow. I love how that's like the go-to. Bow, bow,
bow. I mean, it's so catchy.
It really is.
I just mailed off a whole bunch of Patreon stickers. Like, I think we're almost caught up.
I was going to say, I'm really bad about remembering that. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine.
That's fine. That's fine. That's
you're
fine.
Totally fine. I usually get Ella to help me, and she'll like just address the envelopes and then I'll write the cards.
Good job, Ella. I love you.
But this time I got tired of waiting for her, and then she got mad at me about it. She's like, that's my job.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, Ella. Couldn't wait for you. People have been waiting long enough. But I think we're all caught up now. Oh, cool. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. We're almost all caught up. I think everybody except if you've joined in the last like 3 weeks.
Listen, and we're not all caught up on the names.
No, but we're working on it.
Shout outs. But we're getting there.
Perfection is boring.
It really is.
Go to our podcast store to buy that t-shirt.
We like to keep you all on your toes.
Oh, that also reminds me. In the Patreon, oh my God, did you see this?
Yes.
I have gone ahead and set up the discount codes for the entire year and scheduled the posts.
I'm really proud of you.
So every month, on the first of the month, you'll get your, if you're in the Janet's or the Body of a Goddess level, there's a post that's going to have your discount code. Mm-hmm. And also links to the Discord, because we always forget to share that. And then I took the Halloween stuff out of the store, put back in some other stuff, and added some new merch.
Listen, I have some ideas for some Valentine's Day ones.
So yes.
I'll have to work on those maybe this weekend.
Yeah. So just so you guys know, you can go to the podcast store, and there's a link for like the new stuff, so you can check out what's new.
So fun.
And you know, old favorites and everything. So,
oh yeah,
enjoy.
It's gonna be great.
This is the Witches, Magic, Murder, and Mystery Podcast. I'm Megan.
Do y'all know this by now? I'm Kara.
Okay,
and I have a podcast episode for you today.
Yay!
Yay! There's some murder in it. There's some mystery. There's maybe some magic. I don't know if there's witches. I'm assuming this person's great-grandmother is a witch, but we can only assume.
Mm, okay.
Because it was a while ago that she was alive, so.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? Are you all aware of Patricia Hearst?
I am.
Are you?
I do.
Are you really?
Okay, confession. We've already recorded this episode once.
I really sucked at it, so I had to re-record it.
Well, we were just all over the place last time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was hard to edit. So I was like, Megan, we got to do this again. Okay. Patricia Hearst is, if you all aren't familiar, she was born on February 20th, 1954 in San Francisco, California. She's the granddaughter of the media mogul William Randolph Hearst. He pretty much had a hold on everything.
The newsies.
Yeah.
He had a hold on the newsies. They were out to get
the newsies have a hold on me. I fell in love with Christian Bale on the news.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
And then all over again with what's his name? The new one, Jeremy Jackson. Mm-hmm. Is that his name? Something. Something like that. Me and the girls watched both Newsies movies yesterday.
Back to back. Oh, gosh. Was it so good?
It's so good. So I love it so much.
Whenever we go to Disney and ride, what is that ride that like shows you the progress of the world?
I know what you're talking about, but.
Dome or whatever.
In the Epcot thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It shows like the news station, like where they're making the newspapers. And I always like break out in the song and my children, whichever one gets stuck riding with me, are like, oh my God, I forgot about this bar. Why did I choose to ride with Mom at this time?
Okay, we're going to break the wheel of Pulitzer and Hearst.
Yeah, that's who this is. He was media world. He was, you know, the news was the media at the time. And he's done all the things. Newspapers, magazines, newsreels, films. He's literally been there, done that, has a hold on it all.
Yeah, super wealthy, super powerful.
Uh-huh. And his mother, Phoebe Hearst, who is Patricia's great-grandmother, was a suffragist. She was a feminist. She was behind the University of California Museum of Anthropology, which they now call Phoebe A. Hearst Museum of Anthropology.
Nice.
And she also was a huge help in founding the PTA Association, which is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, let's get behind these teachers and support them.
Yeah. I like it.
And let's give parents a voice in what the children are doing, I guess.
I have such a poor opinion of William Randolph Hearst because of Newsies.
I know.
And I'm like, oh, cool. But he married like a really cool woman, I guess.
Well, that was his mom. He was raised by a badass woman.
Really cool.
Okay. So maybe he just kind of... It just
maybe he's not as terrible as I thought,
I don't know.
Or maybe he is. Who knows?
I could do another episode on him. Maybe we don't know. Okay, but they were also into like politics and stuff too. So they just kind of did it all. Patricia's dad is Randolph Hearst, and her mom's Catherine Campbell, who got married and changed her name to Hearst. You know,
some people do that.
They do it. Yeah. She grew up, as you can imagine, pretty wealthy, doing all the things in the big fancy schools and all that stuff. And she ended up going to the University of California in Berkeley.
Okay.
She's there living with her boyfriend. And Patricia's at school living with her boyfriend. And the parents aren't a huge fan of that, but she does it anyways. Do you know what his name is?
No.
Weed. Weed is his last
name. Oh, I forgot.
Stephen Weed.
And that's why her parents didn't like him.
I'm sure they were. Because
this
is like,
the '70s, right, or the '60s.
This boy is a bad influence. His last.
What is that? Is someone upstairs?
Did an airplane just land on the building? The president? Is that you? Remember that one time,
Joe Biden? Is that? What was that?
I don't know.
Weird.
That's really UFOs.
Like there isn't. And upstairs, really. I mean, there's that.
There's that like thing, area, but
who's up there?
Nobody. Is locked. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. So she's off in college. Parents aren't very happy about her living situation, but they deal with it anyways because it's Patricia. Some of these articles call her Patty. I've read a couple articles that were like she prefers Patricia, so I'm just going to call her Patricia, even if the article calls for otherwise. So let me do a hop, skip, and a jump into this organization because it plays a huge role in this story. So the Symbionese Liberation Army is like a self, it was originally a self-improvement initiative for inmates. The Black Cultural Association gradually evolved into more like politically charged association, and they got a little wild. There weren't hundreds and hundreds of people involved in this, but what happened were college students would go meet with inmates, and that's kind of how they get this story gets involved with the SLA, is what I'm going to call it. And the SLA on November 6th in 1973 gets into the media in a bad way. They end up murdering Marcus Foster, who is a Black superintendent of the Oakland schools. He was kind of in support of a student identification system. But then he ended up like retracting those statements, but then they assassinated him.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. 2 months later, Russ Little and Joe Ramiro are stopped at like a traffic because of a traffic violation, and they have SLA weapons and propaganda, and they got arrested for the murder of the superintendent. They get arrested, and they were like, the other members were freaking out. They were like, this is terrifying. Nancy Perry, who is another member, ended up setting fire to their house in Concord, their safe house, but the fire didn't completely destroy the house. So there's still tons of evidence for police to uncover. So it's February 4th, 1974. So not too long after all of this started happening, the SLA has a hideout near where she's living. And they're like, we have some things we need to accomplish. There's this rich girl up the street. Let's just see what we can do. They abduct her.
I guess she didn't have any like security or.
No, daddy didn't. Daddy didn't think that was necessary, apparently, according to a couple articles.
Which is just interesting, considering the time period.
Yeah. And daddy's money.
Because the Lindbergh thing had happened.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, of course, that was an infant. And I guess maybe he's thinking, my daughter is an adult.
Right.
Who can.
And she's living on her own and making her own decisions, even though we don't agree with them. So why doesn't her boyfriend take care of her?
Boyfriend named Mr. Weed.
Mr. Weed, why didn't you handle the situation? Yeah. February 7th, a couple days later, Paul Fisher, the news director of KPFA, was given something to read. It was an arrest warrant from the SLA for Patricia Hearst. This warrant is a part of a statement that they got, and they were just like, here's our demands, and you're going to pay up or Patricia gets it, pretty much as well. Yeah. Of course, the media gets a hold of this and everybody's going crazy, and law enforcement and the FBI start searching for her. And February 6th, they get a message that describes Patricia's situation, and they're just like, you know what? We want our members back. We know that they're in prison because they assassinated somebody, but we're going to
murder really that big of a deal.
Right. How bad do you want Patricia back? It's really what they were like.
Yeah.
You'll exchange Patricia for these two individuals. And everybody's like, I don't think that's how this works. Like,
can you imagine though, being the parents and and being told that that's your choice?
My God.
Like, get these guys out of prison.
Okay, and you're like, yeah, can we just get them out? Or what are we doing here?
I mean, you would become very, like, I don't care about the greater good here.
Yeah, This is my kid. How bad are they? Because
can't be that bad.
Can't be that bad. Just tell somebody. It's not a big deal. Okay, skip ahead a couple of days. February 12th, the SLA is just like, okay, I guess we are going to send another message. They had a letter and an audio tape. They asked for $230 million worth of food to be distributed to the poor. And Patricia Hearst was giving this. And it said she urged her father to comply quickly with their demands. And she said, this is a very serious situation. Like, I need you to handle this.
Wow.
$230 million worth of food to the poor. Also, how do you find, like, how do you just, like, go knock on our door? Do you make this much money? Like,
how do they determine? Yeah, I don't know. And also, just, it's weird because that sounds like a good thing to do, right? Uh-huh. It's kind of Robin Hood-ish.
Right, exactly. Well, we can't get our people back, so I guess let's do some good for the world.
A friend of mine the other day.
They're asking for that money for themselves. The food distributed that much. And also, how do you prove that you bought that much worth of food?
That's why it's so confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had to be highly publicized, like every step of it, to be like, I'm following your demands. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine told me the other day about an AI thing where, like, you'll get a phone call and it sounds like it's your kid's voice.
Oh, I've heard of this. Yeah, scary.
I don't
know.
Just you talking about this Patricia Hearst thing made me think, like, oh, that's right. I forgot about this story. Yeah. I think I blocked it.
Oof.
Like,
that's scary.
You'll get a call and they'll be like, I'm being held somewhere. And it's not your child. It's AI. Uh-huh. I mean, AI is terrifying to me.
Well, I don't answer unknown phone numbers, so. Or listen to my voicemails.
There you go.
My poor kids.
I feel like.
I'll be like, can you text me?
AI, I think it'll eventually settle down, right? Uh-huh. Like, it's just so new right now that everybody's there's no regulations and it's all crazy. Like, at some point, we got to get through this part.
Wild, wild west.
It's exactly. That is exactly what I said to my friend. I was like, it's like the wild, wild west right now.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
It is.
And the way that, like, there are.
We can create images based off of just a couple of your own images.
They could create whole people. Mm-hmm. Like, there's influencers who don't actually exist. It's all AI. Their videos, their voice, everything is fake. And that's terrifying when you think of how,
like, it's like ghostwriters, but they're not writing. They're,
well, you look at them and you think, well, this is real.
Yeah.
And like, young girls are looking at these, like,
body images. Yeah. Yep.
And thinking they're real.
Yeah.
And it's just not, look for the
fingers because it's weird. Yeah. It's creepy.
It's true. Anyway, sorry. I just got distracted by that. But, like, it's so crazy to think about.
It's wild. Yeah. Ooh, it's scary. Mm-hmm. Okay. February 22nd, Randolph Hearst, Patricia's dad, publicly responds to the SLA demands. He said that their initial request was unrealistic. He's going to offer a counter proposal, $2 million for tax-exempt charitable organization approved by the Attorney General of California to distribute aid to the poor and needy. However, SLA was like, this is crap. We're not going for this. We want $4 million. And he's like, okay, fine. Here we go.
But $4 million in
where the food, tax exempt
donations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So weird. He's just like, okay, fine, here we go. The first distribution happens in West Oakland's Hunter's Point, and riots and injuries and arrests all happen during this. Because how do you...
Yeah, of course it would be. Think of all the free food.
Yeah. And also, like, I don't even know what that system looked like. Do you just pull up in semis with food, or do you have, like, a...
I mean, surely they had some kind of system.
Yeah, my gosh. Yeah. So skip ahead half a month, or not even half a month, April 3rd. They get a new tape from Patricia, and she's like, you know what? I'm going to stay and fight. And they're like, huh?
After all we've done for you, do you want to join?
Yeah. You want to do what? You're going to be here with them?
Listen up, weed lovers. It's 421th, and IndieCloud.co is here to elevate your celebration. Get a massive 42% off all weed, edibles, and vapes for the entire month of April in our biggest sale of the year. This is a special year to celebrate 420, as it marks 6 years since the sale of almost all cannabis products was legalized across the country. This allows IndieCloud to deliver to you dispensary-grade legal products discreetly delivered straight to your door. No medical card needed. IndieCloud has something for everyone. Whether you're a seasoned toker or just starting out, you can explore the world of weed safely with our award-winning Soda Shop Gummy Series, our 12 strains of flower, or our record-breaking selection of vapes. Celebrate 420 responsibly all April with IndieCloud. Discreet delivery, top shelf products, all month long. Head over to indiecloud.co/spring24, that's C-O, not .com, to snag 42% off your first order. Menopausal and perimenopausal women, listen up. It's time to take control of your health and comfort, and Winona is here to help. Winona is a telemedicine company for menopause care who believes that your symptoms are real, important, and deserve to be taken seriously. And for many women, this starts with hormone replacement therapy. Winona's HRT is made with plant-based, bioidentical hormones rather than synthetic ones, so it better aligns with your body to offer relief from hot flashes, weight gain, and other uncomfortable symptoms. 80% of women who use Winona find relief within just 90 days. So, what are you waiting for? Get started today. Visit buywinona.com today to start your free visit. With free shipping and the ability to pause or cancel at any time, your path to wellness has zero obligations. Use code SPRING24 at buywinona.com for 25% off your first treatment plan. That's BYWINONA.com for 25% off. Winona, menopause care made easy.
And so posters start popping up all over the place in Berkeley of Patricia Hearst just talking about her stance with the SLA, how she's one of them now. April 15th, Patricia Hearst is seen on video footage participating in a bank robbery at the Hibernia Bank in San Francisco, Sunset District. She's armed with an assault rifle, and she's using the pseudonym Tania. I say it both ways. No, I've heard it both ways. And she is like super active in this bank robbery. Yeah, she's right in the middle of it. Two men are shot and wounded, and it appears that in the video footage that Patricia's kind of left behind.
On purpose?
That's the thing. Like, so the getaway car leaves without her. So I'm just like, did you leave her thinking that if she got arrested, it wouldn't be as bad? And maybe you've done so much to her that she's not going to like out you all? Or are people even going to believe her if she is arrested? I don't know.
Well, and if she's joined them, if she's sympathetic to them, if she gets arrested and starts talking, maybe they think this will be it's free publicity for their group.
Right, exactly.
From a marketing point of view, it's brilliant.
Right, exactly. But let's not hurt people, okay? No. Okay,
rob banks.
Another month later, May 16th, 1974, there's a Mel Sporting Goods in Inglewood, California, and the SLA is there. They've got a couple of their people. William Harris is just committing like a minor theft while he's there. He's just, you know, but stealing some things.
Did Patricia get arrested after the bank robbery?
She did.
Oh, so she got away.
She gets arrested after this situation.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. Store managers notice that William Harris, one of the SLA members, is stealing some things. And another employee and the store manager confront William Harris outside of the store. And they're just like roughing him up a little bit. And a pistol falls from William Harris's, I'm guessing just like belt area. Mm-hmm. And Patricia Hearst, across the road in a van, opens fire on these people.
So she...
The storefront
started
is...
the shots, uh-huh. the shooting.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The storefront is hit. The manager took cover. The manager actually tries to return fire, and she just starts going crazy with all the shooting.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
But it was William Randall. He's the one... I said William Randall.
William Harris.
He's the one that had the gun, right?
Yeah, but it fell from his waistband. So I'm wondering if the manager grabbed it, or what if they just openly carried back then? I don't know. Hearst and Harris forced two people to give up their cars. One of the people was abducted by them. The person said that it was very weird being with his abductor in the car, because he said that she sat there and told him about cyanide-tipped bullets, but she kept checking, are you okay? Are you doing all right back there? Is everything okay? How are you feeling? Like, what's, are you, like, just want to make sure you're okay.
And that's Patricia?
Uh-huh. The police had surrounded the main SLA base in Los Angeles, thinking that Patricia's going to be there, thinking that they immediately went there. They're not. During this, during them going to this base, a shootout starts, and this is all public. Like, it's on, it's televised. Everybody's watching all over. And the house ends up engulfed in flames. Several members end up dying during the shootout. Like, they were trying to hide, and then some claim that they tried to peacefully come out, but they ended up getting shot. So Patricia's not there. September 1975.
Okay, so this started like in what,
April, May? Yeah, is when the shootout happened. So this all started,
but as far as when she got kidnapped,
February. Yeah, February 4th is when she got kidnapped.
So she's been with them for like six months.
Minute.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, we skip ahead a little more than a year. The FBI has been monitoring lots of new associates of the group. And they're just like, okay, but if we keep watching them and watching their footsteps and seeing what they're doing and watching where they go, we'll eventually find Patricia. And they did. They found Patricia in an apartment with another SLA member. And they had evidence linking her to all these, you know, the robbery and the, you know, the shootout at the store. So they end up arresting her.
So I wonder, why are they looking for her? I mean, she's an adult. And the thing now, like, if you get kidnapped, but or if you disappear and you're an adult.
Right. Right.
And then they're like, sorry, we know where she is, but she's an adult. She does, if she doesn't want to be in touch with you, she doesn't have to be.
Yeah. But I'm assuming
because she's involved with this group.
Right. Yeah. So now they're just like, okay.
And she is the one that opened fire.
Right. Yeah. At that she one now place. Has arrest warrants because she's.
Yeah. Okay.
Acting crazy. They also had evidence linking her to explosive devices were put under police officers' cars, and they failed to detonate. So fortunately, those police officers lived, but they think that she was associated with that, too.
That's the whole thing where attempted murder is, like, so ridiculous because it should be treated like murder.
Yeah.
Because you wanted it to be.
Exactly. And also, there was another robbery of the National Bank in Carmichael, California. During this heist, a mother of four was fatally shot by a masked Emily Harris, who was another SLA member. So Patricia Hearst could have like felony murder charges because of all these.
Yeah.
They're processing her in the jail, and they ask her, what's your occupation? Urban, not student. It's urban guerrilla.
Same. That's what I think of myself as.
Right. Right. Urban chinchillas. What's the most random critter?
The most random, like, non-threatening critter ever? Mm-hmm. A deer.
Deer. I am the forest deer. Urban deer. What's the mouse and the city mouse and farm country mouse. Yeah. What's wrong?
Words. Country deer. Country. City deer, country deer.
Urban.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. She told her attorney, she said, I got a message for you to give to my people. Tell everybody that I'm smiling, that I feel free and strong, and I send my greetings and love to all the sisters and brothers out there.
And they said,
interesting. This is not the Patricia Hearst we knew, but sure, okay. Wow, we're going for it.
Wow.
Yep. So January 1976, they start the trial. And, you know, of course, she's getting all this publicity and all this stuff starts happening, and she's like, oh, well, maybe I should talk about my time with them and kind of just be like, ooh, this was scary.
Oh, like changing her stance on
it? Yeah. So she describes being confined in a closet. She was blindfolded, bound. Donald DeFries, one of the leaders, did all of this to her. And she said, this, you know, I got several threats, like life threats, that if I, you know, didn't follow their instructions, I was going to be murdered. She said that they told her that if she would like join them and stuff, they wouldn't kill her. So they gave her literature, like SLA literature, to study. They gave her a flashlight, and she joined them. She was like, what else am I supposed to do? She said she got weapons training. She got all these initiation activities, and it just was a nightmare.
So she's saying it was basically just about survival at that point. And exactly. She had to be convincing because we already know they will kill.
Yeah, exactly. Judge Oliver Jesse Carter just kind of had enough of the whole situation before it even got to him, I think, because he just not having any of it. Like evidence, in like expert testimony and stuff, he just wanted to exclude. And he said that her statements,
except for her or against her?
Both, really. Like, yeah, he was just like, he said, we have jailhouse recordings of her expressing her radical beliefs and like all these psychiatric evaluations. I'm going to admit some, but I'm not going to admit some. And people were like, he kind of had a bias. Her testimony that her captors coerced her into appearing enthusiastic during the bank robbery and once again threatened her life. So she was like, I had to point the guns. And she said, if you know, these people had guns on me too. And if you notice in their surveillance footage, they kind of did. They were, you know, pointing the guns at her too. So she was just like, I had to act this way. The judge eventually just was like, you know, I've had enough. We're going to give you the max possible sentence of 35 years.
Oh, wow.
And then another judge, William Orrick Jr., reduced that to 7 years.
From 35 to 7.
Yeah. He noted the need to punish young revolutionaries who commit crimes. So he's like, maybe you didn't do the murdering, but you still committed some crimes. So I'm going to give you 7 years because I feel like that other judge was a little harsh on you.
So remember when I did the Otto Warmbier episode? Uh-huh. And there were lots of quotes from people who had also been held hostage by North Korea.
Yeah.
And they talked about how in the time that they were held, they were basically deprived of all their rights, obviously. But then they were just like loaded with North Korean propaganda. Yeah. And this is a time period where there is all this like social change going on and all this talk. And at her age, I don't know. I just think it was almost like a perfect storm of things.
Yeah.
At her age and the time that she's living in and where she is.
Right.
And the way she grew up, she never really had to struggle.
Right.
And I think there's something about going through a struggle.
Oh, for sure.
For anything that makes you like bonded.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's, you know, you hear the words trauma bond a whole lot. I don't know if that's necessarily what we're talking about here, but like it just makes you like, I worked hard for this.
Yeah.
So I feel even more strongly about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I can just see how she could get swept up in this movement.
Yeah.
And there is also, I fully believe that at this point she's like, in order to survive, this is my only choice.
Yeah. I'm going to fight. Yeah. Oof. Okay. So she's released on a $1.5 million bail pending the robbery conviction appeal. She pled no contest to assault and robbery charges at the Mills Sporting Goods case. And then she returned to prison after the U.S. Supreme Court declined her appeal. So she got a new lawyer and she decided, or she tried to have her sentence reduced and her conviction overturned because she was trying to say that she got inadequate defense by her previous attorneys. One of those previous attorneys tried to get a little book deal.
Oh.
And she's like, see, look, they're just trying to make money off of me. Like, I need another hearing.
Yeah.
February 1st, 1979. It's been a bit since she was first captured. She was released after serving 22 months of her 7-year sentence. And it's because President Jimmy Carter. There was a committee for the release of Patricia Hearst that sent thousands of letters to President Carter. And U.S. Representative Leo Ryan of California advocated for her. So they just had this huge petition going around. And even in Congress, 48 members signed it. And they argued that Hearst's unique and traumatic experience with the SLA led her to participate in activities she would not have otherwise engaged in.
I think that kind of consideration should be given to every young kid that ends up in a gang, too, then. I mean, right. Think about the unique and awful position they're put into.
Exactly.
And in order to survive, this is what they have to do. Mm-hmm. Is Congress signing petitions for that?
Right. Are 48 members of you going to sign that?
And people who are...
I mean, I get it was in the 70s. Maybe it's a little different now, but still.
I don't think they were
no
any more sympathetic.
No,
I mean,
exactly.
She's just a Hearst. Uh-huh. So that definitely helped. And again, she went through something awful. She was abducted.
Right.
I'm not trying to discount that.
Yeah, she had
just
a frustrating experience.
I mean, both things can be true, right?
Right.
She happens to be a privileged woman.
Mm-hmm.
But also, she went through something traumatic.
Yeah.
It's just, it'd be nice if they could see that you don't have to be a privileged woman to go through something traumatic.
Yep. Well, following her release, she remained on probation for the state sentence that was related to the sporting store with a shootout with them. But President Bill Clinton, in his last day of office on January 20th, 2001, fully restored her citizen's rights. June 1999. Kathleen, I think it's Celia.
I'm sure it is.
She was a former SLA member. She went by Sarah Jane Olson. They apprehend her in St. Paul, Minnesota, after she had been on the run for 2 decades as a fugitive.
Oh, wow.
She was involved in the bank robbery with Patricia Hearst. She was the getaway car.
Every time you say getaway car, I hear the song in my head.
Yes.
But they didn't get fun.
Okay, so they featured an episode on America's Most Wanted about her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. People were like, wait a second.
I know her.
That's this lady in our neighborhood.
I can't imagine being on the run for 2 decades.
Okay, well, apparently, like, she was doing good deeds while she was on the run. Like, people said she turned a new leaf. She was engaged in, like, community activism and, like, living a normal life.
But, I mean, I'm sure in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
These groups happened because people thought they were doing something good. They were trying to enforce change.
Right.
Their methods were questionable.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So she entered a plea bargain, pleaded guilty to 2 counts of planting bombs. So she was involved in that. And she received a sentence of 5 years and 4 months. Her sentence was extended to 14 years by the Board of Prison Terms.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Because she was involved in the killings as well. Mm. So, October 1999, all of that started happening. And Patricia is summoned to testify against her. She's like, you got to be kidding me. Mm. I've had all my rights restored. I'm trying to put this behind me.
She's a witness. Of course she's going to have to testify. What does your rights have to do with that?
Right. So there's a gag order in place. And Patricia's like, I'm walking right across that. I'm walking all over it and right across it. I'm going to talk about this situation.
Do you know my last name?
Exactly.
I get to do whatever I want.
I am completely over this. I am just so tired of being drug in the mud. I, you know, had this involvement in the past. Of course, you know, it's already been publicized. Like, everybody already knows about my whole entire situation. And now you're trying to bring me back into it. She said, I get this lady was trying to be a good woman, being out on the lam or whatever. She said, but I don't want to have anything to do with this. But I mean, you have to.
You're a witness.
Yeah.
All you got to do is say the truth and move forward.
Yeah. So it says, in an interview, Hearst implicated Olson on a series of crimes, including the bank robbery and murder in Sacramento and like petty thefts and shoplifting incidents. And people were like, probably should stop talking. And she was like, nope, no, I don't care. She was like, I don't care if she was, you know, a part of all these activist things and charities and, you know, had a family. She was like, this is my life too. She said, I have sympathy for her, but, you know, here we go with all the tea. I'm going to spill it all. Like I said, she got the full pardon from Bill Clinton. And she ended up getting married to a Bernard Lee Shaw, who was part of the security detail while she was out on bail that her family had hired.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. They had two daughters, and they remained married until he passed away in 2013. She's been actively involved in charitable work. She is contributed to a foundation for children with AIDS. She does several charitable events. She's written a book. A couple articles I found said she's got a place in New York and Connecticut where she lives with her family.
Yeah.
She tries to keep it, you know, low. She's just low profile.
I don't blame her.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where I land on how I feel.
I don't know.
About what she did or why. Mm-hmm. But I do know that, like, she's been dealt the hand she was dealt, right? Like, we can all be like, wow, she got off easy here.
Yeah.
But if it were me in her place, would take that deal too. And like, cool, I'll be out of prison. Deuces, you know?
Yeah.
Like, thanks.
Yeah.
And so.
But also, if that was us in her case, we wouldn't have gotten the media. We wouldn't have gotten.
No, because our last name's not Hearst.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess what I mean is she took advantage of the things that she could take advantage of.
Yeah.
Which I think any person would do.
Right.
Like, if you had an upper hand, if you had any, you know, I can't think of the right word I'm looking for, but just anything that could help you,
mm-hmm.
even if it isn't fair, you would take it.
Yeah. Cause you want your life back.
And now she's just tried to move on. And it is good. She went on and had a normal life. I don't think she ever did anything awful after this. And then she's, like you said, she's been involved in charitable organizations. I think she's tried
to make her
peace, to do good where amends. She can.
Yeah.
And it's the whole thing of like, you don't want to be defined by the worst things you've done.
Right.
We can all relate mm-hmm. to that, even though we haven't all done what Patricia Hearst did. But
yeah.
You know, none of us want to be defined by our worst moments.
Right.
So I understand that she wants to move forward.
Yeah.
And I want to let her.
Right. Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter what I think about what she did, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
I just want
to
let her
move forward. We're just here to tell the story. Yeah. What the articles give us information on in our own personal opinions.
Yeah. Whatever the disclaimer is in our show notes. All right. Thank you all so much for listening.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have anything else. Gypsy Rose got out of prison.
She did. She didn't get to see Taylor Swift. Dang it.
No. My kids are just obsessed with it. They're just like, what is she doing now?
And I'm like, I don't know. Yeah.
That's another one that I'm like, probably not as ambiguous on my feelings about her as I am about Patricia Hearst.
Yeah.
But it's another one that I'm like, I don't know. This is where she is now. She's out. I don't feel real great about the fact that she's out. I do feel like she was a victim, but I'm also like, God, but she seems dangerous and scary.
Right. Yeah.
So I hope she's okay.
Yeah.
I hope she gets the help she's needed.
Right. I hope she gets the rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm. And has some kind of chance for a normal life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We love you. On that note, we love you all so much.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.